Welcome back to Kettlebells and Cocktails. I'm your host, John, back with my bestie, Nikki. Nikki, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
You've been eating some interesting food today, I noticed, in your story.
I've reached peak pregnancy, where I made my own trail mix today, and it was Cheez-Its and Marcona almonds and M&Ms. This is a perfect intro to our health-focused episode.
Yeah, that's why I brought it up. I just wanted to make sure people... We're keeping it real, you know, that we're really into health over here. Actually, I was laughing because we're living such separate lives. So right now, I was looking at what you were eating going, oh, my God, that looks so good. And I was eating chicken breast and rice at the same time.
Your prison diet.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, I miss M&Ms so much.
Yeah. I'm in for a rude awakening in a few weeks when I'm like no longer eating for two. And I know, don't come at me. I know that I'm not like literally eating for two. But when you're just trying to survive pregnancy, like this has truly been bizarro land in that like no good for you foods make me feel good. Like protein in general turns me off and kind of turns my stomach. And it's been a weird, I didn't have this the whole time when I was pregnant with Hunter, but I'm truly having it now. So it's like, you know what? Cheez-Its feel right. I'm just going to
embrace it, Nikki.
I know. I have to. I only have a few weeks left. So I'm just trying to survive, you guys.
Well, I saw it. I thought it was funny because I knew we were doing another episode today. We've been having so many episodes recently around health and CrossFit health and so on. And so it made me laugh going into this episode. But I thought it was a nice little segue. So let's jump in. I'm going to let you introduce our guest, Nikki, because you found the topic and the guest this week. And I'm excited to talk about this. So
Perfect. Well, I am super excited to welcome Darina Dunn and Carl Dunn and have you guys explain a little bit about the really wonderful work you are doing with CrossFit programming overseas in Ireland, and figuring out how to really change the conversation around CrossFit so that it's considered part of healthcare, part of preventative care, part of something that not only we should be talking about in terms of what we can do for longevity, but also how the government can step in and help support that mission. And Darina, we've known each other for many years now, ever since sort of like the CrossFit competition scene came booming out of Europe. And I know that you're continuing to run Filthy 150 and have wonderful affiliate and community activations over in Ireland. So I would love to start with you giving us just a little bit of background on, first of all, you and your involvement in CrossFit in general, because I know you're an OG, but then also how you've come to where you are right now with seeing CrossFit truly as part of healthcare and involving Coral and the government and other programs to help sort of like fund this and make it really accessible to people.
Great, Nikki. Well, I suppose first, Coral, although our second names are the same, we're no relation. Everyone
got it.
We're related in some way. Yeah, I've been involved and loving CrossFit for many years. My husband, Jamie, has CrossFit Billa. He has five affiliates here in Ireland. We obviously run the Filthy 150, which is one of the biggest events in Europe in terms of mass participation and community engagement. But I suppose for me, CrossFit has always been more than a sport. In fact, the sport was the secondary element of it, because our event was never based on elite athletes. It was always based on the community and what that can do. And if you ask me how we got involved in the healthcare issue, I suppose I'd probably have to step back and say maybe 20, 30 years ago. Actually, 29 years ago, nearly to the day, I lost my father from a chronic disease. I was very young and he hasn't been with me, and I haven't obviously had the joy of having a father for a long, long time. Fast forward to 6 months ago, my mum took two pretty bad heart attacks. Again, chronic disease. And it became very apparent the devastating effect that illness can have. Now, we have people the same age as my mom in the gym having a brilliant quality of life, you know, really enjoying themselves. And there's my mom now whose life is, you know, very different and very difficult because of a health issue. So, you know, I'm not a coach. I see the impacts that coaches have every day. But thinking, what impact can I make? You know, And I suppose when I look at that, I suppose I have a very commercial background. And I said, okay, let's see what I can do. And I decided to try and increase the prevalence and the recognition that our industry has in terms of a prevention to illness and sick health across society, because we know what it we can do, but the broader society doesn't necessarily know. And secondly, how can I create an environment where gyms can be more successful so they could help more people? So I decided to take a two-pronged approach. One was look at how we lobby the government for the support. And two was how we can create an environment where the gyms can flourish. Because at the moment in Ireland, I'm sure like in lots of other regions, it's very difficult for gyms to be commercially viable. So I took a step back and looked at what was happening in other countries. And I noticed in Canada, they had what was called the physical activity tax credit, which is basically a tax refund for gym membership, which is really their country's recognition that, you know, preventative health measures like training is just as important as traditional medicine. And it's their way of supporting it and driving that conversation. So I decided, let's go lobby the Irish government. And how best to do that? It's true. Yeah. So, well, you know me, Nikki, if it can be done, I'll go after it.
You will. It's totally true. I love that Dorina just has like zero fear. She was just woke up one morning and she was like, let's go lobbying today. It's like a great idea.
So I thought the best way to do that was to work with the association that represents gyms within the country, and that's Ireland Active. Now, let's Carl step in here, but I think there's probably worth saying that when we first looked at Ireland Active as an association, although great and doing incredible work, it wasn't necessarily what I would consider the fitness industry. It was very much a traditional gym, global gym setting, leisure center, not what I know. So I rang Carl and said, look, will you have a conversation with me? He very graciously agreed to have coffee. And within 10 minutes, it was very obvious that we were very much aligned, that there was a recognition that maybe the functional fitness CrossFit gyms hadn't been enveloped into their association. And we looked at how do we make that happen and the pain points of these existing gyms to drive this conversation. And that's where it all began. It's hard to believe that it's only maybe 6-8 weeks ago that we began this journey. We've made huge headways already, including getting funding for the gyms in terms of upskilling and training and a broader conversation. But maybe I'll let Carl step in here now. Sorry, I've talked a lot to give his opinion.
Yeah, Carl, I would love to know how that conversation with Dorina went to sort of convince you to loop CrossFit in or lump CrossFit in with some of those other more traditional gyms. Because I do think that that's sometimes where people face some issues, even here in the States, is like there are some insurance organizations that will offer you like a stipend if you join a gym or a little bit of a credit or a refund if you join a gym. But I found that it's oftentimes difficult for people to lobby their CrossFit gym, their box, as the gym that the insurance company will recognize. So how did that conversation go for you?
Look, Nikki, you know Dorina, so fix the phone. I was warned, if you don't pick up the phone, she'll just keep ringing and ringing and ringing. So.
Oh, she'll show up at your house. She'll find where you live. Yeah.
That's what I was told, yeah. No, mm-hmm. In fairness, we had always recognized that one of the fastest growing sectors within Ireland was the CrossFit multifunctional gym space. And we were, mm-hmm. I suppose I was scratching my head for a bit of like, how do we engage with this group? Because in theory, we're all trying to achieve the same thing. And if you take it on a health level or a business level, so we take the health level first. What we were trying to do was we want, and one of our taglines is more people, more active, more often. So from the traditional gyms, we were working with them. We had a couple of CrossFit gyms as members, but we really wanted to engage with that sector of the industry. And the timing was just perfect because Dorina picked up the phone and rang us. And I said, listen, do you know what? This timing is perfect. So as she said, we had a coffee, and within, I'd say, during about 5 to 10 minutes, we were like, look, we're preaching up the same hymn sheet here.
Mm-hmm.
What Dorina and the BUA gang were looking for, and the CrossFit community, was exactly the same thing that we were. And it was around health. How do we get more people active, and how do we get more people fitter within Ireland?
And that's truly, I mean, we say it all the time, right, John? It's like the rising tide, the whole point of CrossFit is to get people more fit across sort of like around the world, whether it's in your box or my box or whatever the methodology it works. So where did you guys land? How sort of rewind, what are words? What is the outcome now for people who are looking to sign up for a gym and get some sort of support financially or from the government?
I think it's two things, Nikki. The first thing we did was we held a conference specifically for functional fitness gyms, and we're very lucky Ben Bergeron came over to do a talk. And a big part of that conversation was helping gyms recognize the critical role they play in society and what a big industry they are. Like, to give you an example, there's 3 times the number of coaches in Ireland that there is doctors. You know, there's more people engaging in physical activity in Ireland, like gym-related activity, than play football, rugby, or running combined. That is the strength of our organization. That is the strength of those individuals. But yet you often hear coaches, when you ask them what they do, they will say, I'm just a coach. They don't really believe who they are and the size of their industry. So part of that conference was helping them recognize who they are and the impact they can have. And then looking to say, we're going to support you to become even more prevalent and have a greater impact on society. And the first thing that we did was take their pain points and look at, okay, how can we help them? And a big part of it was upskilling. As you know, an awful lot of CrossFit owners are entrepreneurs and are really into fitness, but maybe running a business isn't their number one priority or their natural forte. So through SkillNet and with the help of Carl, we've got funding for training. So now it's be that they want to do their level 2, be that they want to do other CrossFit courses, be that they want to do a business course, be that they want to do health and safety training, whatever upskilling is associated with their business, we can get funding for the government for 25%.
Awesome.
So there's that piece. The second piece is we're actively working as an alliance to drive a lobby position for tax credits for gym memberships. So say, for example, you have a gym in Ireland and you're charging 200 euros a month, that they can now, once we get this position through, and this isn't true, we're lobbying for it. Once this position goes through, they will be able to write that gym membership off against tax. So rather than it costing the individual 200 euros, it would actually cost them 120, because 80 euros of that will be written as a tax write-off of the end of the year. What we're trying to do is reduce the barrier to entry. We're trying to make it as feasible as possible for as many people to get into the door of a gym, so we can have an impact and really, you know, make sure that they have a long and healthy life. So we're on the journey. We've got the funding approved, so we can support them in terms of upskilling. And now we're using our influence and the community mobilization to drive for that political piece of a tax rebate for gym membership.
That's awesome. It feels like such a big project, right? It feels like steering a cruise ship. That's kind of like the metaphor I always go to, where it's difficult. It's difficult to change course. It's difficult to convince people that this is worth it to do. And I don't know about you guys overseas, but here, like logistically, when something goes into lobbying and needs to become a new policy or needs to become a new law, it just in general kind of takes forever. It's a very slow moving system. So what is the hope on your end in terms of timing to kind of get this all pushed through?
Yeah, I suppose, Nikki, just on that, we have an advantage here in Ireland that actually we're a relatively small country. Like we're a population
Fair.
Of five million. Yeah. And we would have strong links within associations and also within government departments. So I think I was talking to you earlier. We would work with the Department of Sport, Department of Finance, Department of Trade and Employment, and the Department of Education, and the Department of Health. So there's across a number of government sectors we work. So we have inroads in there. So it wouldn't be like us going to Capitol Hill and trying to knock on a Democrat or a representative looking to get lobbying. We can actually work on the ground. And we would work with civil servants, government within the government. So from that point of view, it's a little bit easier here than it is in the States, lobbying wise. But in saying that, actually what you're lobbying for actually has to be worthwhile, and it actually has to be a benefit.
For sure.
Well, I think, Nikki, I suppose I'm, you know, look, it's not going to be the easiest thing to achieve in the world, but if we don't try, it's not going to happen. And sure. the reality is it makes commercial sense across a number of areas. Like McKinsey have estimated for every euro that's spent on preventative medicine or preventative healthcare measures, you get a fourfold increase return on investment. In Ireland, we're a country that is growing rapidly, but our working age population, 25% of them consider themselves inactive or sicker than they were in 2015. There is no growth without health. If we don't drive this conversation and make our country healthier, we're not going to continue to be successful. In parallel, you know, there's the underserved women, our older members of our community. There's so many benefits associated with this policy. It really makes sense. We've reached out to several government departments. We're working on it. And to be honest with you, we've had no major pushback as of yet. And it does feel like we are pushing an open door. Now, I think we're lucky, the timing. We are coming into an election. People are looking for votes. We've had two political parties say that they will be interested in discussing this as part of their manifesto, though what they go to the people with as part of their government policy. So we happen to come at the right time with a policy that makes sense for a nation who need it. So it's going to be difficult, but is that the reason not to do it?
No
way. I don't think so.
For sure.
And maybe that's the nature of CrossFitters. You know, they see something that's a hurdle and go, let's go after it. And that's what we're doing. I think a big part of getting this across the line is community mobilization. And who can create a community better than us CrossFitters? If anyone can make noise on social media, if anyone can change the tide, it's us. You know, there's over 800 gyms in the country, in Ireland. Be that across the functional fitness area and the general gym environment. They have communities, they have families. We can create a grassroots movement, and that's what we're doing now. We have a project team, people putting up their hand, volunteer to help drive this. So it's not just myself and Carol, it's the whole of the fitness community in Ireland starting to put up their hand and recognizing who they are and saying, we deserve support because the support you give us is really uplifting the nation.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm really passionate about it.
No,
I
have a question about the tax credit part of it. So you mentioned there's 25% tax credit is what you're shooting for.
No.
Sorry, Carl. Yeah.
The 25% is the funding piece. So if you spend, say, 1,000 euros in funding, that True Skill Net, and with the help of Carl and C, Ireland Active, you get 250 euros. Back. So 25% is in relation to the funding for upskilling.
Okay. Are you able to only use it on gym memberships, or could you use it toward gym equipment? If you want to say you wanted to build your own home gym and kind of do the same level of fitness we're describing here.
Tax credit. I see what you're saying.
Sorry, tax credit. Yeah. So the 25% isn't tax credit. That's industry led, and it's for upskilling professionals. So say, John, your CrossFit gym, I think if you had one, and you had three staff that you wanted to upskill, and say it was $1,000 each for each of them, we'd be able to come in and go, okay, we'll cover 25% of each of their training fees because you're a member of Ireland Active. And that way we're supporting the industry that way. On the tax credit, what we're looking for there is that a percentage of your gym membership would be tax deductible.
But John brings up a good point. Like, if I wanted to set up a home gym and buy equipment for it or do something along those lines, could I get a tax credit on the purchase of that equipment? Or is it really right now going to be limited to people who have like a active membership, like a recurring membership?
Yeah, to be active recurring membership.
That's interesting.
We are going with 5 asks to the government, knowing that realistically, we won't get it all. And one of them will be the use of, we have a cycle to work scheme in Ireland whereby you can purchase a bike to get to work. And we're looking to have that expanded to include gym equipment and wearables. But the main driver is the tax credit for gym membership. But there is a broader piece, John, that we're looking at too.
How much is the tax credit for gym membership?
It would depend on the percentage tax rate that you pay. It would either be 20% or 40%.
Okay. Well, I was just, the reason I was thinking about all of this, like the first part where you're investing in, you know, training and getting money back for that, like as a gym owner, you know, if you have four coaches that you're training and you're getting 25% off, it's almost like, you know, buy three, get one free. Maybe it's the best way to think of it. So for
yeah.
It would certainly give local gyms in Ireland a real incentive to continue to invest in the training and development and upskilling the quality of coaching, which is always an issue in any gym, let alone CrossFit. But I think this tax credit part for individual members is really intriguing to me because it gives incentive to the CrossFit gyms. It gives them an extra tool to go out and grab people and say, hey, not only can you come be a member, but the government's going to help pay to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And as someone who personally pays a lot of taxes, I would love for part of my fitnessing to be paid for, or at least to get credit for it. That's always been a gripe of mine for years and years and years. Like here in the States, medical bills, insurance, medicine in general is just kind of outrageously expensive. Right. And it often feels like those of us that spend a lot of time investing in our health or subsidizing those that don't.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And to be able to get money back to invest more into my health, you know, would be a monster benefit to me and my family. And I think there'd be many people that struggle to make ends meet that all of a sudden could, that want to do it, but they simply can't afford to go join a gym. And now they could, because that extra 20 or to your point, 40% could really push them over the edge.
I think what we're trying to do is create an environment where we reduce the barrier to entry, so as many people as possible can get into a gym and get fitter and healthier. Because apart from making the individual, you know, feel better and have a better quality of life in terms of society, I don't know about the US, but in Ireland, our health service is creaking. And as our population gets older, that's only going to get worse. And we're throwing money at it, but it's not fixing the problem. What we really need to do is reduce the number of people that are getting sick and prevent them getting sick for longer. And the evidence is irrefutable. The way to do that is to get people moving. Physical activity is the best weapon we have against illness and sickness. We know that. So it's, I suppose, recognition that that is the case and developing a policy that leads to that doesn't ignore the science and evidence. Ireland tends to be at the forefront of a lot of policies. If we look at, we were the first country to introduce the smoking ban. We're the first country to have gay marriage. So we are very progressive in terms of our policy, and I'm very proud of that. And that's why I feel as a nation, when we do speak to our politicians about this, we are getting a very positive response. They recognize that something has to change because what we're doing now isn't working. Like by 2030, 8 out of 10 people in Ireland will be obese. We just physically can't handle that as a nation in terms of just looking at when they get sick and intervention. We're trying to get the conversation around, you know, about your fitness and healthcare being about an investment rather than a cost. Get to you before you get sick and support that rather than waiting to intervene when you are actually sick.
Well, I don't mean to brag, but here in the States, we were the first ones to supersize French fries and hamburgers.
No. Well, I've had many supersized chips myself, you know. You know, it's like, John, I think we all recognize the critically important role that fitness plays. It's now about getting that written into policy so everyone can benefit from it.
I think that's just it. It's just so hard because within our community, everyone's going to like agree, like we're this very health positive echo chamber. We're like, yeah, of course. Physical activity is preventative medicine. Like we all agree. And it is somehow difficult, I feel like, to sometimes have that conversation outside of the folks who live it every day and breathe it and so like evangelize it. I know, John, your gym is very much like on the forefront of a lot of those health discussions. And I know you guys also work very hard on accessibility for your classes and your gym in general. But have you felt like pushback from general society and trying to make that conversation even louder than it is within your four walls?
Well, I think it's just hard for people because you have to jump through a lot of hoops. Like we have the two adaptive classes we have are both funded by the government, local governments and, you know, county governments, a really small government. But even that, you know, the amount of forms and, you know, calls and, you know, knocking on doors you have to do just to make it happen and applications and everything else. You know, I can imagine if you didn't have owners as stubborn as, you know, my co-owner, Jen, it just wouldn't happen. You know, like you just get frustrated and you're like, all right, I'll take the easier path, you know?
Right. And right. Or like I'm over here running a business. I don't have time to knock on doors because I also have to like clean my damn toilets.
Yeah. So it's the hard part of dealing with government is like there's so much bureaucracy is it makes it very difficult to move it forward. And then, you know, obviously I hear the conversations within the community of, you know, we're CrossFit itself is trying to help, individual gyms understand how to use health savings plans to fund CrossFit memberships. And even that's very difficult at times, you know, and it's the bureaucracy that does us in more than anything else.
I think, John, that's why we chose a tax credit for gym membership. We already have a system in place within Ireland that you get a tax credit for healthcare, for your prescriptions and for attending the doctor. You can write that off at the end of the year against your tax. The system is already there. We're just asking for another tick box because it's a med one form. It's a medical expense. And we see this as a medical expense. It's just a preventative medical expense. So the framework is there. The institution is there. And that's why we're driving the conversation around that route, because everything is there to make it happen. There's not going to be a big uplift from the governmental side.
Yeah. Most healthcare here in the States isn't true healthcare. It's sick care. You know,
right.
Like they don't want to deal with you until you're sick, and whatever you want to do to prevent it, do that on your own, because they make money once you're sick. Like that's kind of the mindset here in the States. And it's really, really backwards and frustrating for those of us in fitness that we feel we're in the healthcare community by and large. I would be curious, how many CrossFit gyms are there in Ireland currently? I honestly have no idea.
On the island of Ireland, there's around 98.
Oh, wow.
And I'd say at one stage we had the most CrossFits per capita. For a population of 5 million, we'd be a huge numbers of CrossFits. We really embraced it. I'd say there's probably 2-3 times that are non-affiliated. We are seeing affiliation slow down in the country, but we aren't seeing a slowdown in the number of functional fitness gyms opening. I think what we are finding in Ireland is it is more difficult to open a business of our type. During the crash, there was a lot of industrial units available at really cheap, reasonable prices. That isn't the case now. With everything gone online in terms of purchasing goods, warehouses are at a premium. So we're seeing a lot of gyms move into office spaces, which they're maybe not necessarily set up for our kind of gyms. We're still growing. As Carl said, we're the fastest growing segment in the Irish function, in the Irish fitness industry. I think we represent now 40% of the overall industry, growing at 122%. And so we are exponentially growing, but it's just not CrossFit that is.
Right. Well, I just think what a powerful tool this would be if you guys, you know, get this fully implemented, that it'll allow the gyms to be more profitable. It'll allow more members to join and take advantage of it. I mean, it's really for our community, it's a win-win across the board, financially and physically.
I think even as we push towards the tax credit, even it is 8 weeks since we began this program and working with Ireland Active, we've already got them 25% saving in terms of upskilling. And what's really important and what I'm speaking to the gym owners about is, don't narrow your thinking to thinking it's only going to pay for CrossFit training. Think about in terms of your business. What are you lacking to feel comfortable as a business owner? Do you know how to incorporate? Do you need training to understand a balance sheet? Do you need training in terms of upskilling of management, process and systems? We can help you get support, regardless of what that support is. Undoubtedly, this funding is there to upskill you as a business owner, because as a business owner, you provide jobs and you also provide a critical role in society. So I'm really hoping that we can get the box owners to recognize that this isn't just about being a better trainer. It's about helping you be a better and more viable business.
It's funny because if you look at the CrossFit section of the industry and then the traditional gyms, the business model may be different. The business practices are exactly the same. They got to understand the P&L. They got to understand taxes. Mm-hmm. They got to understand HR. So all of those things are exactly the same. And we're able to actually come in and give them upskilling and training in that area. So from their point of view, they get a lot of training on the business side of things and on the physical side of things as well. And then just to go back to what Doreena was saying there in relation, sorry, John, it was yourself, the win-win situation. It's also a win-win for government because we're actually helping them get the nation fitter and moving more.
Well, it is so complicated owning a business, you guys.
Right.
It is so common. Nobody tells you that shit when you first sign up. You're just like, I'm going to do it. And everyone's like, yeah, you should do it. And then you like have to file your first round of business taxes. And you are like, oh, my God, what am I doing? It's so hard.
It is, but incredibly rewarding. I look at Jamie, who, you know, Nikki, who has Build Collective, and he gets up or he on a Sunday is all excited about work on Monday. You know, whereas I am physically, I'm like, oh, to my day job, to go out, Jesus Christ. You know, he doesn't have that Sunday fear, you know. And apart from that, you know, you look back and think on, okay, what have I actually contributed? And maybe doing this as part of this collaboration and project means I am contributing to something. But I see the impact that Jamie and the other coaches have. And it really is life-changing, you know. So when you're talking about a life well-lived, opening a gym is a life well lived. It may be hard, but it's incredibly rewarding.
You know, if you guys get this island of 5 million people super fit, you're going to absolutely ruin all these stereotypes we have of the Irish over here. You know, all you guys do is drink and eat potatoes, which I'm jealous of, to be honest. That's the life I want to live.
Well, John, can I be honest? No one would say that to my face.
No?
I don't think anyone's brave enough.
No, nothing to be like, we obviously we know how to party, but what you are finding is that pubs and the church is very much declining in Ireland, whereas gyms are becoming that third place. You know, it used to be the scenario that every Friday, Saturday and Sunday, you know, my age group or younger than me now, I wish I was that age, would be out. You know, now you see people in their 20s going to train of a Friday night, not to the bar. I'm not saying that pubs have, you know, that we've replaced pubs, but there's definitely a shift. 16% of our population are now active members of gyms. And if we can get that to 20, 25%, then we have a societal change and we have a societal norm. And then we should see exponential growth because it would be commonplace to be going to the gym of a Friday night. And that's the conversation we want to drive. You know, although we refer to ourselves as a country as, you know, of Cade Milavalgia, a thousand welcomes, we've a lot of people that are very lonely. It's hard to make friends as you get older. And gyms help that, you know, especially CrossFit gyms and, you know, functional fitness gyms. So we are creating communities, and that culture of being in the pub is being replaced by being at the gym. And I'm very happy to drive that conversation. So hopefully, John, in about 5 years' time, you'll be talking about one of the fittest nations in Europe.
I think you're starting to see that conversation happened in, you know, all over the world. I was just talking to someone about this, a friend of mine who's sober. And our conversation was, you know, we really believe that in the next 5 to 10 years, you know, the concept of drinking in the past, to your point, was, hey, go out, have fun, loosen up, enjoy yourself. And people are starting to recognize what a poison it is. Mm-hmm. And the diseases that it causes and what it and how, you know, all the areas of your life it impacts. And I realize that, you know, you know, plenty of people can socially drink and they're not impacted that way, but millions upon millions can't. And it creates a lot of bad stuff. And, you know, I think over time, we're going to see more and more people realize that, you know, drinking isn't this, hey, let's just go hit the bar for 3 days and then go work for 5 days and, you know, that's a great mm-hmm. life. They're going to spend more time in the gym and starting to find more satisfaction and less, to your point, less loneliness than they had in the past. That's my real hope for society because, you know, I barely drink these days, even though our show literally is named Cocktails. But
well, listen. I do think part of this conversation around using fitness as healthcare also is about creating balance in our lives. And that is so incredibly important because you're in a better headspace. When you're active, you can make better decisions about yourself and your lifestyle. You may be able to enjoy a drink or decide not to enjoy a drink based upon the clarity in your head because you've elevated your heart rate today. And I do think that having that type of fitness and preventative fitness or fitness and preventative healthcare in our arsenal is ultimately going to help make those kinds of decisions about balance in the future. I also think the pandemic really shed a light on drinking culture in and of itself for our entire world, because like most of us were just drinking on a Tuesday during the pandemic and it took a minute for us to be like, ooh, that was a bad choice. And then it fundamentally changed how we see social interaction and big gatherings out and about in the world. And then it also sort of like boomed this culture, especially for the younger generations, of like, I'm actually enjoying staying in and not, you know, not going out and not being able to hear you over the loud music on a Friday night. So it's just, it's like everything is in flux. Oh, and everybody bought all the friggin' workout equipment in the entire world and you couldn't get anything.
I think, Nick, we should be careful saying about staying in, because social interaction is incredibly important. And
that's
so,
true, yeah.
You know, being out shouldn't mean that you're at the pub. Socializing is as important in some ways as training, you know. And I think what I think of alcohol is very much like cigarettes. You know, people didn't know for a long time how bad cigarettes were for you. And then when they did, it took a long time for that societal change. We didn't know really how bad alcohol is for you. We had a perception, but I think it's only now coming to the fore how really bad it is for you. If you drink a lot and the impact it has on you. And even for someone who I consider myself relatively confident, if I have a heavy night of drinking, I'll be honest with you, the next few days are a write-off and I'm racked with fear. What did I say? Did I embarrass myself for no reason?
Yep.
You know, so it really destroys your confidence. Where in parallel, the complete opposite to that, the gym gives you confidence. You know, that you can socialize without needing that buffer to protect you, because you start to believe in yourself. And once you do that, there is something magical in it. You know, people talk about equality and, you know, especially in terms of fitness, you know, are we going to, by creating this policy, making it more difficult for poor people to train and it's only rich people that will benefit? And the one thing I say to anyone who pushes against what we're talking about in terms of equality is that there is nothing more equal than training. I notice in work, I would be around people that have went to Ivy League colleges, very privileged individuals. And I'm from a very working class background. You can probably tell by my accent. I can walk into any boardroom and you may have a better watch than me. You may have a better pen than me. And I can sit there and I can take off my jacket and you can see I'm physically fit. And it's like, you can't buy what I have. I've got grit. Mm-hmm. You can't buy this strength. There's something powerful in that. And, you know, creating that strength in young people is magic. You know, if they can feel the confidence to engage as who they are without drink, I think we begin a whole different conversation. So I'm with, let's get people to socialize, but socialize at the gym and not needing alcohol to do that.
I don't know the difference in any of the accents, Doreena, none of them.
Yeah, so. Me either, but you sound great to me.
I would say that, and I'm kind of going, the two guys have no clue where you're from.
No, that's great. You could tell by my accent I'm not from a posh area. You know,
got it.
Yeah,
I think the thing that fitness does is it's a leveling field. Yeah. In that you were talking about going into a boardroom, and your fitness, you can't actually buy it; you actually have to earn it.
100%.
Yeah, it's the same here to some degree. I mean, it's funny. I the last gym I belonged to before I bought the one, or you know, bought into the one I own now. I was working with a lot of young people, but there were a couple of old guys like me, And there was this one guy, that he always had the nicest cars. And I remember he pulled up one day in this brand new Corvette T-top. I mean, this was like a $100,000 car, easy. It was just gorgeous, you know? And then I smoked him in the workout, and I'm like, yeah, you may be rich, but I'm fit, you know? And, but you're right. Like you can't buy it, you know? And that's the thing I love about CrossFit. It doesn't matter how much money you make, how rich you are, how poor you are. It's just whatever you put in once you're inside the four doors is what makes a difference, you know, or the four walls.
Yeah.
And
I do think it's worth bringing up, and we could probably do a whole nother hour on this, so I won't get too far into the wormhole, but there, you know, part of the criticism that we get oftentimes is that, like, it is an expensive gym membership, and you can probably get a cheaper membership to Glipo Gym or a different methodology where you don't have as much care from a coach or something along those lines. But I do think that as a community, we've done a much better job in the last few years really opening up the conversation about accessibility. And I feel like 9 out of 10 gyms that I've visited and seen and have connections to with the owners and the coaches are willing to do whatever it takes to get deserving people in their door. So if you were to go into a CrossFit gym and say, like, I really want to be a part of this, but I know I can't afford the membership, 9 out of 10 gyms are going to be like, let's work with you. You know, let's figure out a way to get you in here. Or, hey, we've developed a program for, you name the group, you know what I mean, to be able to come in here and have better accessibility to our type of methodology and training. So I just feel like that it's hard to have that conversation because I know that we're a more expensive setup, just the way that we run and the type of personalized care that we give. And that's fair because people are also like making their lifestyles or their livelihoods rather off of this model, but we're willing to do it. You know, we're willing to put the time in.
I think, Nick, for me, and it's probably easy for me to say it, as you know, because I believe so much in it. It really is about value. Like, you can spend 30, 40, 50 euros in a traditional gym, and you walk in, no one shows you what you're doing.
You
can waste the hour, you know. And that's, as Carl is on here, that is not knocking a traditional gym, Carl.
No.
For me, the conversation is around value. And like, there's some CrossFits that aren't worth the money. I'll be honest with you.
That's also true. Yes. Yeah.
Where, you know, you're thinking, Jesus, this is not value. So what I would say to anyone who's interested in training, find something that's of value. If you are going somewhere, you're using it a lot, 4 or 5 times a week, you're getting an environment where you're learning and you're improving and that you're enjoying it. It is value for money.
Yeah, for sure.
But there is times when it's difficult and there is the cost of living crisis. And that's why myself and Carl are doing what we do. But for me, I honestly don't think that CrossFit is expensive. I think some CrossFits are expensive because they don't offer the value. But what I see as a CrossFit gym and what I experience from training, I'm getting value for money. So I think it's worth every penny. I'm fitter, healthier and happier now than I was in my 20s. And that's worth the money to me.
Yeah, I fully agree. For sure. Like,
yeah, 20 bucks as well. Sorry, go on, John. Sure. I keep jumping in.
Well, I was going to say it's 20 bucks a day. You know, I don't know what that calculates out to euros because I can't do the conversion in my head, but it's what, 25
pretty,
euros?
Pretty
probably.
Similar.
No, yeah, probably.
Basically, what I spend at Starbucks on a daily basis is what you're saying.
Well, you know, so you think if you're going 5 days a week at 20 bucks a day, right? Like 100 bucks a week. Like, I don't know about you guys, but I spend pretty decent amount of money on Netflix, Hulu, HBO, like kind of all these, you know, to your point of value, like they're fun to watch, but they do nothing for me other than let me shut my brain off. But 20 bucks a day is worth an extra however many years I'm going to have with my kids.
For sure.
Or my family. And to your point, I love the concept of value because I fully agree. Like, I've been in gyms before. I'm like, oh my God, let me get out of here. But I've been to others where I'm like, 20 bucks is a steal.
Yeah.
For what you're getting. And I have to believe you guys have with 100 gyms in Ireland, I have to believe that 95 of them are brilliant.
Yeah.
I have to believe that.
I'm slightly biased, so I'd probably say that. But no, honestly, what I've experienced is, especially over the last 4, 5, 6 years, the professionalization of our community. You know, when people first started 10, 12 years ago, you know, it really was the Wild West. But now there's a huge amount of upskilling. Now there's a huge amount of effort to make the gyms a better place. And I think a real telltale sign, and this probably goes back to what Greg always spoke about, you know, clean toilets. You know, now there's a certain expectation of what a CrossFit gym looked like. Previously, you know, people could have opened a CrossFit gym with $10,000, you know, and worked away. Now they tend to spend more on the fit out, the equipment, the staff. We're seeing a lot more full-time employees choosing this as a career. And as such, there's a professionalization, and it really has uplifted the whole community. It's uplifted the standard that we can offer to our patrons, and it's really helping us become fitter and fitter. I see it at the Filthy 150. The quality of movement tends to be really, really good. And I'm not a coach, so I'm probably talking crap. Someone else would say, and I don't know. But I look at coaches that are there and they're coaching. They're not cheerleading. They're coaching. And it's very impressive to see. And that's why I feel very comfortable and confident saying the average CrossFit gym in Ireland is around €150. If you use it and you get good coaching, it's very, very good value.
I want to go back. I know we only have a few minutes left, but I want to go back to one of the very first things that you were talking about, Dorina, where you were saying that you guys had a seminar where you were opening up the coaches' eyes and minds to the fact that they are not, quote unquote, just a coach. And I think that's a really worthwhile conversation to have worldwide with the people who are in our CrossFit gyms, really all of our gyms. Carl, I'm sure that these are conversations that you have with the people that are within your network, regardless of the types of gyms that they are coaching in. It's a really important conversation to have worldwide, because I think a lot of CrossFit gyms, especially here in the States, have maybe one owner, maybe a GM or a head coach or something along those lines. And then a lot of part-time coaches, like a lot of us are just in there helping keep the gym afloat by coaching a couple classes a week, probably just swap for our membership, or we get paid in bags of protein or something along those lines. And that's how a lot of smaller gyms survive, or at least grow within their first few years, right? It's really hard to open up a gym and immediately have the budget for a full-time staff. And I think sometimes we forget that. We forget the impact that we have. And I know, like, my gym that I coach at is quite small, and we have bi-monthly coaches development meetings where, you know, we review all sorts of things from like coaching tactics to member specific things. And our owner is huge about reminding us that we're so much more than, quote unquote, just a coach. But that statistic that you threw out there in terms of how many physical fitness coaches there are versus doctors, that blew my mind. Like, that is a different level of like, I know I'm more than just a coach. Like, I'm also like a little bit of a therapist, because people want to come in and like tell me about their day, or like, I know that their physical fitness is going to impact their mental and emotional health. And that's really important to recognize. But like, thinking of myself as the first line of defense in their preventative medicine is not ever really something that's crossed my mind the way that it has today in this conversation. And I've been coaching for like 12 years.
Well, I think it's worth recognizing what people's motivation is for going to a gym. And there's been a recent survey by UK Active, and they surveyed 1,000 people as to why they're going to a gym. Now, 20 years ago, the response would have been to build muscle, to look great, etc. Now the response is, I think 55% of the respondents said it was to improve their health. Mm. So the motivation for people to join a gym is different. And I think we need to help coaches recognize that, or society recognize that shift in the mindset of the individuals and why they're going to a gym. But if you even look at the demographics of people that go to a gym, it's nearly 50-50. But if we look at sport within Ireland, for example, it's very heavily dominated by men. And if you look at sport in Ireland, it tends to be the purview of the young. Once people hit adulthood, they tend to stop playing sport. You know, so there's a real societal impact we're having. Apart from the fact that in Ireland, anyway, 60% of our population do it. We have, as I said to you, there's three times the amount of coaches that there is GPs. Our demographic is 50-50. We are having a huge impact in terms of the plus 55 age group. Like, there's so many statistics that lead to the fact that we're more than just a gym. We're a really important societal industry. And the first 20 minutes of the conference was discussing that within our industry peers, And you could genuinely see people actually like changing and sitting up and, you know, recognizing their position. So I think a big part of our job is to help coaches feel the role they have in society and be confident to claim that. Because as we drive for this position within Ireland, it's really important that people feel they're deserving of it. And they are, because they are preventing people getting sick. You know, so as I talk about convincing the government, I also need to talk about convincing our coaches, our gym owners, that's who they are and they're worth listening to and they're worth investing in. And I can see it. So I want to make sure they can see it too.
Mm-hmm. Well, I love this. I love what you guys are doing. I think this is absolutely brilliant. I hope someone listening steals this and tries to do it in the States, even though it, mm-hmm. I know it'd be tilting at windmills, whatever that's worth.
Well, I'm speaking to representatives from Canada and Australia to get an impact analysis on what they've done and the impact it actually has. So we have evidence to support our argument. And once more countries do it, the more likelihood it will be adopted by other countries. You know, myself and Carl are going to try and push this through in Ireland. But then it's Europe, here we come. I'm not stopping here, you know. This has an impact and it can make a difference. And when we talk about a life well lived, maybe this is what my life well lived is, they say, you know.
Heck yeah. Yeah. And you make a great point too, Darina, in that, like, you know, the more countries that do this and the more evidence-based reporting that we have that shows that it works, the better chance we all have of implementing it around the world.
Funny you should say that, Nikki, because Sweden actually have it implemented where they get a tax credit for gym membership and Pilates classes as well. So we're getting a lot of evidence from there to actually show, hey, listen, the Swedes have done it and they've had it in for a number of years. So there is evidence there that we're able to bring to show the Irish government, hey, this actually works. And here's the evidence.
That's what we need.
Yep.
Yeah.
I love it. Well,
if you need someone to come over and speak about it, John, is a quick flight from Dublin to Boston, so I can be across.
Hell yeah.
All right.
I'm here for that. She knows where we live. She's coming.
There you go. Perfect. Well, listen, Darina, Carl, thank you so much for joining. We appreciate you guys being on the show today.
Thanks,
spreading your message. So thank you. Nikki, great to see you. Go eat some more trail mix.
I'm going to.
You have your afternoon trail mix before your bedtime trail mix after all this health discussion.
Basically how my diet works these days, actually. So that's perfect.
I love it. All right. Well, for everyone listening, we appreciate you guys joining and we will chat with you guys next week.
Thank you. Cheers, guys.